As we approach the fall holiday season, where four different holy days actually occur in a very short period of time, whenever you think about it, all in 1 month, I want to not focus on the fall holy days, but because of lessons that I see that I really believe that we're going to be seeing and learning during these fall holiday seasons, what I'd like for us to do is I'd like to go back, in essence, all the way to the very beginning. And I'd like to see something that starts and is very important, and it ties in a sense, with all of the holy days, with the whole season throughout the whole of the year, not just the fall holiday season, but it ties in. And I want to look at a subject today that some of you hear this may go, oh, this is so basic, this is already understand all of this. Well, let's see. As I'm preparing this, I'm starting to look at information that I would have to be very honest with you that I've never really focused on myself. That doesn't mean that you haven't. You may have. But I learned something, even though I've given sermons on this topic and way back in times past, never given one in the Church of the Sovereign God. And so I thought it was time to do so, and I thought it would be fitting to do so, again, like I said, because in one sense, I'm not going to tie it into the holy days today, but it does. But it does. I believe the vast majority of people who state that they are Christian today accept Sunday as the proper and the right day of worship. They refer to that as the Lord's Day. And the various Christian denominations differ widely in why they observe Sunday, what they believe the day means, and how it is to be kept. On one thing, they do agree. And that agreement is they believe that the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week, Saturday is what it's referred to, does not need to be kept today. And so they're not coming before God in prayer and in thanksgiving and worship and praise as a form of worship today. They will be doing that tomorrow. But why not today? Why not today? Because here we are on a Saturday keeping the Sabbath, not the Lord's Day. Does the Bible offer any proof that we need to keep the Sabbath as the day to worship God, including even today? In Exodus chapter 31, we are told the Sabbath is a sign to identify the people of God. Exodus chapter 31, beginning in verse 12. Exodus 31 in verse 12. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak you also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbaths you shall keep. Sabbaths, that's referring to all of the Sabbaths, which would be 52 in a year time, the way we reckon time, 52 weeks in a year, therefore there's 52 Sabbaths in a year, but it also would be including the annual Sabbaths as well. And so you, and verily my Sabbaths you shall keep. It is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that sanctifies you. That's a phrase. That's a phrase that I don't think that we have really heavily emphasized in times past. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am God. How do you do away with the Sabbath and still know God? If a Sabbath is a sign between God and His people, and therefore there are other people who are not keeping the Sabbath, what has God just stated? And I think He stated it pretty clearly here. So that you who are part of the sign, keeping the sign, will know that God is God. Did He just tell us that one of the ways to know God is through the keeping of the Sabbath? The answer is, yeah, He did. It's exactly what He said. It's exactly what it is said. It's exactly what He's meaning. We'll see this more as we go along. Going on down now in verse 14. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Holy means having been set apart. It means a special time. I'm just giving you different usages, different words. It is hallowed. It's a word that says that God hallowed this day. It means he made it holy. God made this time holy. Question I have is, how can man unholy anything God made holy? So he says, this is a period of time, from this time to this time, this is holy, of the 7 days of the week. From here to here, this is holy time. God's saying so. How can any man come along and say, this time is no longer holy? I don't know about you, but I have a problem with that. I also think God has a problem with that. Everyone that defiles it, the Sabbath, shall surely be put to death. I think God means it. For whosoever does any work therein, meaning on the Sabbath day, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever does any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Verse 16, Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. Now I'm going to come back and people say, well, yeah, but that was for Israel. Really? Let's take a look and let's see. You know, let's see if that's true. I mean, I know it says, well, it certainly looks like it. Wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Who is the he? Who rested? God rested. Just looking at what we've read so far, just see what we've seen so far, let's look at some information the Bible has to say about, I believe, a controversial subject, the Sabbath. And let's begin in Genesis. Let's go back to the very beginning. Back to the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 2, we could read in chapter 1, in the beginning, God made all of these days, is what it says. And on the sixth day, this is in Genesis chapter 1, and on the sixth day, he made man. He created us. No, we didn't come from monkeys. We didn't come from animals. We were made in the likeness and image of God. That's what it says. Then in Genesis chapter 2, we are also told God rested on the seventh day of creation. God rested. Did he need rest? Then why did he rest? That's what we're going to see. If he didn't need rest, and I don't think any of us would believe that God needed rest, I look forward to the Sabbath day. You look forward to the Sabbath day, even though in one sense it's kind of, I hate to use the word, a work day for me. It's, you know, because it's not a work, it's a labor of love. And you know what I'm saying here. I still look to it because today, I don't have to do all those other things that I need to do during those other days. I don't need to do those. I can spend this time with God. I can spend this time with you and fellowshipping, you know, and with one another. You know what I'm saying. You do too. But we rest. We need the rest. We need our bodies to be refreshed, our mind, our body, our spirit to be renewed, rejuvenated. And this is the day that he set aside for that to happen. But it says he rested. If he didn't need the physical rest as we need a physical day to rest, is God showing the importance he placed on this important day? And the answer is absolutely. He's showing the importance of this day from the beginning. From the beginning at creation, he is showing this. He blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it. It means he set it apart. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and the host of them. It had come to a completion. He had finished what he had started in this process. that is a seven-day creation. He started, he is finishing, is what it says. And then in verse 2, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Now, do we have any reason to believe that God had ever rested? No. There's nothing in the Bible that says that God had ever rested. He ceased his work. Would you like to be able to go back to that period of time and to be observing, knowing all that you know today, having observed the Sabbath for years, and going back and watching the angelic beings who had been created however time earlier than man, Adam and Eve, first man and woman had been created, and how far, and God had never rested, and they had never seen God rest? What did they think? What is he doing? What is he doing? Verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he, God, had rested from all his work which God created and made. God rested. He hallowed this day. He made this day holy. He set this day apart from the seven. And then there was the from the other six. You know, here are the 7 days of a, and it starts over again. There's this process. It starts over. Then it's day one again. And we number 1 through 7. 1 through 7. 1 through 7. And on this first number 7, which is called the seventh day, which is referred to as the Sabbath day, he rested, he hallowed it, made holy, and he sanctified it, and he set it apart for us. The Sabbath was made for man. That's what he says. In Exodus chapter 20, God tells us the day that God sanctified was the Sabbath, the seventh day. Because here in Genesis chapter 2, it says, and the seventh day he hallowed. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11, this is right in the middle of the Ten Commandments. This is during the verses that talks about the seventh. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You shall do all your labor and all of this. In verse 11, it says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, or therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He made it holy. He makes it very plain what the seventh day is. It's the Sabbath. It's the seventh day of the week. It's the last day of the week. However you want to look at it. And he hallowed it, which makes holy. So I think that we can easily conclude the Sabbath did not originate with Israel. Because people say, oh, that's the day for the Jews. There is no Jew at this time. Adam was not a Jew. And he made Adam, and he created Eve, took him out of her. He built her, is what the word actually meant. She was built out of Adam. And then came the Sabbath. And God rested. And he hallowed it. And he told Adam and Eve, this is the day. This is it. This is the day you're to rest. This is the day to spend with me. This is the day you're to be doing this. Cease from all your work. He told them all of these things. That's what it says. This is what Genesis 2 says, that this is what he did. And he's telling them these things. So I think that we can see that it did not originate with the old covenant made with Israel and God at Mount Sinai. That's what people say, but that's not what the Bible says. Now, I'm not going to read all of these verses, but in Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 through 30, that's why I'm not going to read all of the verses. But we can see the example of God giving manna to the children of Israel 6 days with a double portion on the sixth day and none on the seventh day or none on the Sabbath. Why? Well, he wanted to feed them. He was taking care of them. but it was also to teach them without any doubt, without any question, without any equivocation of, well, which day is the day of the Sabbath? Which day is it? Which day is number seven? No doubt. Verse 29, the verse shows that it was not just for the purpose of feeding them, but it was to teach them to observe the Sabbath. Exodus 16, verse 29. See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide you every man in his place. Let not man go out of his place on the seventh day. And we know when it says the seventh day, it's referring to the day that we refer to as the Bible refers to as the Sabbath. We also need to please understand that this incident, and I mean this incident with the manna, which lasted 40 years or about 40 years, week after week after week after week, day after day after day, one portion, one portion, one portion, two portions, none. And this happens for about 40 years. And when you really get down to it, it's right at 38 years, but it's referred to for 40. But here it is for about 40 years until they reached the promised land. This occurred prior to the giving of the terms of the old covenant. Now people say, well, that's all part of the old covenant. It wasn't. It was done from the seventh day of the original week of creation. The Sabbath was declared. And then he shows them this, the manna, how he's going to take care of them. And he gives them this lesson that I, God, I'm going to feed you. And I'm also going to be teaching you which day you're to be resting. Which day is the hallowed day. Which day is the day that we need to be observing and spending our time with God. All prior to the time of the old covenant. The terms are not even given. So even though the Sabbath was later made part of the old covenant agreement because it was brought into, and it was not confined to the old covenant. It wasn't part of it. I mean, it wasn't the old covenant. Here's the agreements, and oh, by the way, we're going to put in a seventh day rest, and you know, that's the Sabbath, and you're to be keeping it. No, they were to show to keep it, but it was originated way back when. The fact the old covenant is not enforced now does not do away or disannul the keeping of God's Sabbath. Okay, the next thing I want us to do is I'd like to look to an account of the Ten Commandments. And I say an account because there's two accounts where all the Ten Commandments are actually listed out. This is what I'll look at is in Exodus 20. In Exodus 20, verses 1 through 17, I'm not reading all of those verses, but we are going to start reading in verse 8. The Sabbath commandment starts there, and I want to read some things dealing with this. We are reminded that the Sabbath is a day of rest. The word Sabbath comes from a Hebrew word that means to cease from activity or to rest. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work. You nor your son nor your daughter, your manservant nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Here's repeated. God rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. It's repeated. The Bible is getting this point across. This is a holy time. I don't think it should be any small matter if we think about it that the Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments. It's that important. It is that important. Now I think many, if not most, I'm not going to use the word most, but I would say many, if not most, Christians regard the keeping of the Ten Commandments to be among man's most fundamental obligations. Except they come along and then they will make statements, that some will state any, that the Ten are done away with. But they don't really mean this. They obviously don't mean that the Ten Commandments are done away. Now, why do I say that? And why would they say that it's done away? Because these people, there's no way that I think somebody who states that they are a Christian, that they're a follower of Jesus Christ, is going to say the Ten Commandments are done away and it is therefore okay to do murder, or it's okay to covet, or it's okay to worship anything other than God in the place of God. They would not say that. But there are people who will state the Ten Commandments are done away. I know. I was personally told that when I first, way back as a teenager, started going around and talking to different ministers. Why do you go to church on Sunday and you don't go on the Sabbath? Because it's real obvious in the Bible that's what it is. Well, the Ten Commandments are done away. And then whenever you challenge them on this, they obviously mean, well, they're not all done away. Well, which one is done away? Well, it's obviously they mean the fourth one, the Sabbath day, is done away, because they're by now keeping some other day, and they have to reason around how they came to the very fact that they know that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Bible, but they're not keeping it, and they don't have a real good term other than, well, they're done away. Some also will go along and they will say it's not the day that is important, as any day is okay. So for convenience, some keep Sunday and not Saturday, and some keep another day for convenience as opposed to even Sunday. More recently, some of the, teachings that are coming out, some are saying it is not an actual day at all, but simply a period of time that is to be kept holy. And what they mean by that is holy meaning when you are in contact with God. That period of time when you're in contact with God, that's holy. So it's really you don't really have to keep Saturday as the Sabbath. In fact, it really doesn't matter which day you keep. In fact, it really doesn't mean to be a day. It can just be this period of time. But then because of tradition, some assemble on Saturday and some on Sunday using this line of thinking or this human reasoning. When you just go back and look at the Bible and see what it actually says, what does it say? God rested, He created it, He called the Sabbath, He blessed it and said, it's holy. I'm hallowing it because I rested. And this is what you're to do. This is what it says. Okay, now the next thing I want us to do is I want us to take a look at Leviticus chapter 23. And this is where I'm using the statement from the very beginning that it ties in with the holy days. And since we're right at the holy day season, you know, the fall holy day season, where there are seven holy days, not counting the Sabbath, you know what I'm saying, annual Sabbaths, annual holy days, there's seven of them. Four of them occur within a one-month period. I mean, from now, all four of them have going to have been observed by this time a month from now. If you get the thinking of what I'm saying here. The Sabbath, it says, is a feast of the Lord. It doesn't say it's the feast of the Jews. So it goes back, it does away with the fact of saying, well, those are all just the Jews' feasts. Oh, it says, God says, no, these are my feasts. Those are His words. We can read it. We're going to see that. It also shows the Sabbath is to be a holy convocation, a day for worshiping in a collective assembly. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. In other words, commanded assemblies. It is commanded by God for the people of God to assemble on God's days. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. A holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Jews. Is that what it says? No. It says it is the Sabbath of the Lord and all your dwellings. So I see it very plain. The Sabbath is tied in with the annual Sabbaths as well. You go there. Then it goes on and it talks about the Passover. Then it talks about the Days of Unleavened Bread. And then it talks about, you know, as we call it, Pentecost. And then it goes in and it talks about trumpets, atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, and the eighth day, or the last great day of the feast, the eighth day. But Sabbath is listed first. The next point that I want us to look at is found over in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel 20. If you're writing notes, put 1 through 26. We're not reading 1 through 26, but you can go back later and read that 1 through 26. We're going to start reading in verse 11. In verse 11, "And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them." Verse 12, "Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctified, that set them apart. That they may know that God, the Eternal, is God." So the Sabbath is to show us, so that the Sabbath is to help us to recognize who God is. Who is God? Well, God is the God who created the Sabbath, who rested himself, who hallowed it, who made it holy. "But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walk not in my statutes, and they despise my judgment, which if a man do, he shall even live in them, and my Sabbath they greatly polluted. Then I said," God speaking, "then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them." Verse 15, "Yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is a glory of all lands." He said, so there he decided, so I'm not going to bring them in. Because they didn't keep the statutes and the judgments, and they polluted my Sabbaths. They did not do them. Verse 16, "Because they despised my judgments and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols," other things in the place of God and what God had said. Now, I want to go back and make one statement here that I kind of alluded at earlier and talked about earlier. From the beginning, it's very plain to me, just looking at the scriptures, seeing what it says, the seventh day of the week, there's 7 days in a week, and it starts all over. And the seventh one, God declared to be the rest day. The reason is because he rested in it, and the reason he gave it so that we would see, that we, mankind, that we can see who is God. That's what it keeps saying. Man did not do it from the beginning. Man was not really doing this. And so God comes along and he picks out this family, Abraham, and he says, I want to reward you. I want you to do things, but you're going to do what I want you to do. And I'm putting in my own words, and I'm putting it in very modern terms. But he says, but if you do these things that I tell you to do, I'm going to reward you. I'm going to reward your descendants after you. And so God tests him. He tells him what I want you to do. And Abraham says, yes, sir, what do you want me to do? And so he tells him things and he starts doing it. And he says, now I know that whatever I ask him to do, he's going to do it. And one of those things was the Sabbath. I'm only dealing with one thing. But he started doing this. And then he taught it to his children. Then the children of Israel went into a captivity. And when they were in captivity in Egypt, because they had, after Abraham, they stopped doing the things of God, they wind up in a captivity. They had been greatly blessed in Egypt, where there was this famine going on in the land of Israel. He had already sent Joseph there to have all of this wealth supplied, and he brings them in, and he goes to Pharaoh. Joseph goes to Pharaoh, and he says, here is my father, and this is my brothers, and I want them to be able to dwell in this land as long as I'm here, and as you know, for you know, a long time. And Pharaoh says, great, reward them. Do you bless them and whatever, because you've been so wonderful to us and blessed us. Pharaoh is basically telling this to Joseph. So what he does is he puts Israel in the best spot for doing what they did, which was cattle and those kinds of things. And he put them in the best spot in all of the land. And they were blessed there. Joseph dies. The original sons of Israel, they're dying out. And now for a period of time, and it goes on for 400 or 430 years, however you want to look at it. But they stopped doing the things of God. And then they kept multiplying. And the Pharaoh, who now did not know Joseph, said, these people are outnumbering us, and so we got to do things. And so they took them over. They made them indentured servants. They put them in a slavery. They got further away from God. And then after a period of time, they cried out to God because they remembered that they had been doing these things of God. And God heard them. He came down. He gave them a deliverer, Moses. And then he brings them out and he takes them out to the mountain, to the Mount Sinai. And there he says, look, we had this agreement from way back from the beginning that you were going to do these things. And here they are. I'm just going to put them in writing for you and you're going to agree to this. And one of them is the Sabbath day. And they said, okay. So then they're out in the wilderness and they're going to go. And a short distance out, they send in the spies into the land. The 12 spies come back. 10 of them lie. They lie. That's what it says. They didn't say you gave an untrue report. It says they lied. Only two of them gave the right report. And God got, he went, you're not getting it again. So what I'm going to do is the spies were in the land for 40 days. Therefore, you're going to wander around out in the wilderness for 40 years until all the adults die off. But I'm going to teach you that the Sabbath is the seventh day. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to give you manna. And I'm going to give it to you for 6 days. And on the sixth day, you're going to get double portion and none on the seventh day. And he did this for the next 40 years. And they still didn't get it. They still didn't obey God. Now that's what we have. So after they get into the land, then what we see is one of the greatest reasons that the nation of Israel went into captivity was because of Sabbath breaking, idolatry and Sabbath breaking. That's what it says. And so afterwards, in fact, Israel was no longer to be a nation. By this time that I'm referring to, they had split into two kingdoms. A northern kingdom, which is the 10 tribes, the southern kingdom, which is Israel to the north, Judah to the south, with two of the tribes, and actually it's 2.5 tribes. And the northern kingdom, they split off. Their king, who they appointed, actually, I'm not going to try and prove this, but I think the scriptures are pretty plain to me, that he actually had them change, tried to emulate, so they wouldn't go down to Jerusalem and they would get liking the king down there and go into the temples and go on all these things and keeping the feast. So he started one in the eighth month. And I believe it also shows pretty clearly in my thinking that he also changed the day of worship from Sabbath to Sunday. Because it said they worshiped Baal. It's what it says. Baal worship, one of the main points in Baal worship is worshiping of the sun, i.e. Sunday. That's what they did. I believe that's what Israel did. God just simply wiped them out as a nation forever, to be combined back together forever. Those people are still out there, and I think most of us are part of that or of the southern kingdom, the Jews anyway, but this is what happened. They went into this captivity and never returning. And it was because of the breaking primarily of the Sabbath. That's what's listed. Nehemiah chapter 13, beginning in verse 15. In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath. Here is now, Israel's already gone to a captivity. Judah starts doing the same things, and they go to a captivity, but God says, but I'm not going to put them away forever because I'm going to continue to work with some people, and I'm going to work with this. I'm going to continue to work with them. But they gotta learn some lessons. So he put them into a captivity for 70 years, is what he says. He brought them out, and here it is. Now Nehemiah comes in to try to rebuild Jerusalem. The temple had been burnt to the ground and all of this. And then he says, and I saw in Judah some trading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and laden asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. So here is Judah now doing the very same thing. They're breaking the Sabbath. And I against them in the day wherein they sold food or victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein. So there are other people who are coming in, and they brought fish and all manner of ware and sold on the Sabbath to the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. So they're doing merchandise on the Sabbath. And they're real. And Nehemiah is saying, don't you get it? We just came out of a 70-year captivity, and this is one of the reasons. Then I continued with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that you do and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus, isn't this what they did? And did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Now what he's talking about is he's standing in a place where the city had been destroyed. Jerusalem had been destroyed. The temple was burned to the ground, basically. And they're there trying to rebuild all of their life. And he says, isn't this why we have what we have? And he answers, yeah. And he says, don't you see that? Yet you bring in more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And it's the issue that he testifies against them. It's the Sabbath that he keeps bringing back against them. I believe this confirms that the Jews who have been brought out of this captivity, who return, realize this fact of captivity and Sabbath breaking. He's confirming with them this is the reason. And I think they had to recognize it and admit it. Brethren, God takes the Sabbath very seriously, even if humanity does not. God's desire is for us to keep the seventh day Sabbath as holy. Some will conclude, well, that's just the Old Testament. Well, what about the New Testament? The New Testament also contains very powerful evidence for the Sabbath to be observed. One of the most important things that we could go to see that the New Testament is also showing, proving the fact that the Sabbath is to be kept, is the fact that Jesus Christ kept the Sabbath. Oh, excuse me. Why would that make a difference? Well, he was God. He was one of the two Godheads. He empties himself. He comes down in the form of a man, and he observes and keeps the Sabbath. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Luke 4:16. And he came to Nazareth where he was brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for it to read. This is what he did. He kept the Sabbath. Mark chapter 2 verse 23 through 28 tells us the Sabbath was made for man, not just for the Jews. It was made from the beginning for all humans, for all of us. It also goes on here and shows that Jesus Christ is also Lord or boss of the Sabbath. And this is also a phraseology and an understanding and a teaching that we've really not spent a lot of time on either. In fact, of what does it mean that he was Lord? And we plan to do that at some point, God willing, also. Jesus was Lord of the Sabbath because he was its creator. And he rested on the Sabbath, that creation. And he kept it when he came as a physical human to the earth. Why? Because mankind is to keep the Sabbath holy. And he came as a man and he did what a man would do. A righteous man, he did the Sabbath day. Let's see some other things about the Sabbath in the New Testament to offer proof about the Sabbath. Some say that Jesus only kept the Sabbath because he was a Jew and it was their custom. They say that he was simply following the principle, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. One very important point to consider is the fact that the New Testament church kept the Sabbath, and this was after Jesus' death. Do we not think that he would have told them, I'm doing this because I came as a Jew, but you're going to start the New Testament church on the day of Pentecost after I'm dead, and I'm going to be resurrected, and then I'm going to be the waysheaf offering, and we're going to start on the day of Pentecost, the New Testament church, but you don't have to keep Sabbath any longer. But they kept it. They kept the Sabbath. I would think that he would told them, if everything was nailed to the cross, that they would not have to have kept the Sabbath. But they did keep the Sabbath. Then it can be seen through example after example, verse after verse, that the Apostle Paul preached the keeping of the Sabbath. And we remember that Paul was referred to as the apostle to the Gentiles. So it's not just the Jews. Paul is an apostle and goes out and he teaches the Sabbath example after example, verse after verse, to the Gentiles, to other mankind. Let me give you a list of some verses that you can look at and see. This is very plain. We're going to just read a couple of verses here. I'm not going to read all of these. Some of the verses can be found in, I'm just looking just the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 13, verses 14 and 15. Acts 16 and verse 13. You can read all around these. Acts 17 and verse 2. And Acts 18 and verse 4. But I want to go to Acts chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 42 through 44. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. See, Paul is going in and he's witnessing of Jesus Christ. That's what he's doing. He's giving a testimony of who is the Messiah in the synagogues to the Jews. They already know so much of the truth, they just didn't have the Messiah. They didn't know who the Messiah was. And so he goes into the synagogues and he tells them, now the Gentiles come and they say, will you teach us these same words that you're teaching them? We do this next Sabbath. Verse 43. Now when the congregation was broken up, meaning the Jews, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came, listen to this, almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Now, I'd like that. I'd like for the whole city to show up and say, you keep this strange day. Why do you do this? Will you teach us this? Wouldn't you like to be part of that? Yeah. So what we see is it's very, very clear. And there are other examples. I've just read you this one, gave you a couple of places you can read on your own. But it is very plain. The Apostle Paul preached to both Jew and Gentile, and this shows he had one custom for both Jew and Gentile, not two separate customs. And that included the Sabbath. Okay, now turn with me to Acts chapter 15. And most of you will remember that this is the conference of 49. This is in 49 AD, and Paul and some of the other followers with him and teachers with him, and they're out in one of the, you know, the Gentile areas, and there are proselytes who have come in and saying, you have to be a Jew first to become, you know, you're Gentiles, but you have to become a Jew first to become a Christian. And Paul is going, we're close to being right. Now, what they were calling it was they have to be circumcised. That's what they were meaning, was they had to become a Jew first. That's all that is saying. A circumcision is something that needs to be done, but it's not necessarily for the same reason in the Old Testament. You know, it's good health practice. I don't care that the doctors today saying, oh, it shouldn't be done. You know, no, it should be done. God said it from the beginning. He said it and it should be done. Anyway, so it was held. So this conference was held to determine what should be taught, maybe even say what would be demanded, as it were, of the Gentile converts. The real issue was circumcision. That's what they stated it under, which was becoming a Jew first or prior to becoming a Christian. And we know that's not the case, that it had to be, and this conference declared that. Okay, go to Acts chapter 15 and verse 21, only verse I'm going to read. Only one. This is James, the brother of Jesus Christ, who was the bishop or the pastor of the Jerusalem church. So they come to there. These people come in from various places to have this conference to determine what should they be taught? For Moses of old time has in every city them that preach him. In other words, the writings, the Torah, the first five books, which includes the law, which includes the Sabbath, which includes all of these things that Jesus actually says that prove who he is, which is an interesting thing in itself, that preach being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. James' statement shows he assumed the Gentiles would continue to hear God's word preached on the Sabbath. They were going to be keeping the Sabbath. It wasn't even an issue. Should the Gentiles be told that Saturday is the Sabbath? That wasn't even an issue. Of course they were. Of course they were going to be keeping the Sabbath. It was understood. They're going to be there and they're going to be hearing these things and they're going to be hearing it, you know, that the Sabbath is, you know, what Moses has said. Wasn't even an issue. Of course they were going to know that. The converted Gentiles would keep the Sabbath, but it also goes on and says, of course they're not going to have to be circumcised. They're not going to become a Jew first to become a Christian. It did free them of some of the Old Testament requirements. But it was not an issue of the Sabbath, yes or no. It wasn't even considered. It wasn't even part of it. Of course they were going to be doing that. Okay, I want to see one other important point about the Sabbath, and I'm not going to even turn there. I want you to write these, you know, write this place down, and you can read it later. It's stated in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, that the Sabbath pictures the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. And, I mean, that's, you can get that out of there. Okay. Now, with that in mind, go to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. And Isaiah 66, verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Verse 23. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, says the Lord. This is a time yet in the future. This is a time that is, we're rehearsing this during the Feast of Tabernacles and then even going on until the last great day, the eighth day of the feast, the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, where we're going to reign and rule on the earth with Jesus. I mean, we've got all these verses, and we'll hear some of these, I'm sure, during the Feast of Tabernacles. But here it says that from one new moon and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh, not Jews, all flesh, all those who are physically still alive on the earth at that time are going to come up and worship before God. And they're going to do it on the Sabbath. This is in the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. I believe it is clear the Sabbath is to be kept during the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. With that in mind, let me ask this question. Does it make any sense that the Sabbath was to be kept at creation? God created and said, I've hallowed it, I've done this, this is how you really get to know me. And its creator rested and Sabbathed, rested. It's not an actual word, I created it, but it gets the point across. And the Sabbath was kept by ancient Israel, They didn't do a real good job of it, but they were told to do it, and they went into captivity because they didn't do it. And it was kept by Jesus Christ, and it was kept by the New Testament church, and it was kept by the apostles, and it was kept by Paul, and it was kept by the Gentiles, and it is to be kept in the future, but it's not to be kept now? Does that make any sense? It makes no sense to me. But we don't have to do it now. That makes no sense. This is just reasoning. There's nowhere the Bible ever says, don't. It always says, it's the day to keep because God hallowed it and made it holy, and this is the way you come to know who God is. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? So now let me ask another obvious question. Which day is the proper day for a Christian to observe holy to God? If you're going to use this book, the Bible, as your guide, if you're using something else, then come up with something else. But if you're using this book as your guide, there's only one answer. It's the seventh day Sabbath. It's the only answer that you can come up with. It's the only answer. It's the Sabbath. The Sabbath day that helps us to come to the knowledge and really the understanding of who God is. It's through this day. That's what the book says. And now the Aaronic blessing. Speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless you. God bless you.